Okay, today's daf is Bava Kamma Tetzayin. We're going to start at the Mishnah on Tetvav Amud Bet. Okay, it's going to be a Mishnah that we're going to have trouble understanding. You can see from the chart that there's going to be four different readings of this Mishnah, and as in many cases that we've seen, most of the interpretations are going to, or some, half of them are going to change the words in the Mishnah. Okay? Chamisha tamim v'chamisha muadim. Okay, so far it seems pretty clear cut, right? But we're going to see that we're going to question this assumption also. But right now it sounds like it's saying there's five cases of a behemah or a short tam, right? An unanticipated nezek, which would be keren, right? V'chamisha muadim. Okay, and five cases where the behemah is muad, where we're expecting him to damage. So let's start with the tamim. Habehema ena muedet. If it's not muedet, that means it's tam. Lo ligach, not to gore someone. Velo ligof, that's to push someone, right, with his body. Velo lashuch, to bite someone. Remember, not in the manner of eating, but to bite, as in, if these are all, we've talked about this before, they're violent acts that are not necessarily just the animal was walking along its way and something happened.
Is ligof modern Hebrew also for pushing?
I'm not sure. Good question. The low lirbots, okay, lirbots is to trample on something, but in a violent way, like not just because it was walking, but to smash something with its feet. The low lirbot, and not to kick it, okay? A lirbots could also be, I think, to sit on something.
No, they said that lirbots is to squat on something.
Right, okay, so to sit. Right.
No, but that was the squat. That was the second, the fourth one. Lirbots.
Right, lirbots. That's what I'm saying. Lirbots is for sure to kick.
Lirbots is also like a positive connotation, to squat, to sit on.
Robates tachem, like to.
Or
that's also squatting
chicken,
under.
Like when it sits,
is it? I don't know the chicken lingo.
Whatever, when she's sitting on the eggs.
It's called lirbots. Interesting. Okay, so it's basically to squat and to squat on top of something. Here, obviously, it means in a damaging way. So all those are unanticipated, and therefore, if the animal hasn't done it three times, it's going to be called a short tam. Hashen mu'edet le'echol et hara'oila. Now we're going to get to the five mu'adim.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Does it mean any one of these things three times, or any of these three of any of these?
That's category? A good question. Yeah, I think there's some machloket about it. I don't. We're going to get to it. I'm sure. I'm sure we're going to get to it. I don't remember offhand if it's clear cut or if it's. Right, I think it might have to be each behavior, but I think there's a machloket about it. I don't recall.
I'm sure.
Right, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll come across it. Okay, if not, remind me and I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure we're going to come across it. Hashem mu'edet le'chol et hara'oila. So now, if an animal eats something that's expected that it's going to eat, we saw this before, if it's expected to eat what it's going to eat, then that's called a mu'ad, okay? So therefore, one second. Right. So if that's the right. So again, what did we say about this? No. So if it's in Rishut Harabim, then remember you're patur from Shem Viragel because it's expected. But if he comes into Rishut Anizak, that's going to be the Gemara's first assumption. Obviously, we're talking about here where the animal went into someone else's property and ate their property, so ate their produce. So if that happens, well, obviously the owner of the shore is responsible and should have realized if he let him go into the Rishut HaNizak, it was clearly going to damage, and therefore you're fully responsible. Whereas if it happens in Rishut HaRabim, that's why exactly there's a distinction, whereas in Karen, the distinction doesn't exist between Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid, or maybe not necessarily Zumachlok and Rabbi Tarfa and Chachamim that we saw yesterday, that we'll see again today. But that's going to be the first question the Gemara is going to ask here. Because if we're saying the chain is Mu'ad, to eat what's ra'oi, it's obviously going to be talking about the Rishut of the Nizak. Because it can't be in Rishut HaRabim. In Rishut HaRabim, if it's expected, well, then it's your fault for leaving your stuff laying around, knowing the animals are there, and they might eat it. But if the animal goes into someone else's Rishut, well, then they're fully responsible. The owner is, that's exactly what his job is, right? When you take your sheep to go in the fields, you have to prevent him from eating people's grass.
What's their concept of tam with regard to
right, Shein and Regel. There is none. Right. Exactly. Okay. Harega mu'edet lishpor b'derech hilucha. Same thing, right? Assumption is if you let your animal walk somewhere, he'll trample on things. So again, Rishut HaRabim, they're patur, but Rishut HaNizak, you're going to be chayav b'me'achuz, right? Again, without any issue of tam or mu'ad. Vishur HaMu'ad. Okay, now we get to number three. Again, assuming we're reading the Mishnah the way I'm reading it. Shur HaMu'ad is number three, which means a short time, right? Who did it three times, all the five things that we mentioned above. And now he became a Shur Mu'ad. Shur HaMazik B'Rashut HaNizak. And this is the line that's going to cause us trouble. A shur that damages in the Rishut HaNizak, which sounds like...
what we've already seen.
Well, either you're talking about Shein HaRega, which we've already seen, so it can't be that. Or you're talking about Karen, which doesn't make sense because Karen, we said, you're chayiv even in, again, depending on who you hold by. If you hold like Rabbi Tarfon, then you're going to hold that you pay Nezek Shalem in Chatzar and Izak, and that's what it means here. Okay? Even if he's Tam. Okay? And it's Rabbi Tarfon. But then, okay, well, we'll have to get into this. There's a little complication here. This line doesn't make sense. This line is the line that throws us off. Because either it's Rabbi Tarfon, which doesn't make sense, because in the beginning, we assume if Shane is Birushud Anizak, then we're going to assume that the first five cases were also Birushud Anizak. And now this is telling us, well, if it's in Birushud Anizak, you're Chayav Nezek Shalem. And in the beginning, it said you're Chayav Chatzi Nezek. And, you know, either you hold the first one was Rabbanan and the second one was Rabbi Tarfon. In other words, the Mishnah splits. Okay, or you have to re-explain the Mishnah in some other manner. V'ha Adam. Okay, and person is Mu'ad La'olam. That we're going to get to in about 2 weeks. Okay. Now we get to another problem in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said there's five Tamim and there's five Mu'adim. Now, you could say until now we've been talking about behaviors. Now we're going to talk about animals. Okay, so maybe this doesn't kind of fit in. On the other hand, we're going to list a whole bunch of Mu'adim, which would mean that there's more than five Mu'adim and not just five Mu'adim. So now we're going to say, Haze'ev, V'ha'ari, you can see where this is going, right? These are all more kind of on the wild side of animals, right? The wolf, the lion, Hadov, the bear, Hanamer, a leopard, and a bardalas. It's not so clear what a bardalas is. Okay, we'll hold off on this because the Gemara is going to explain, although once the Gemara explains, it's still not going to be clear because, again, they use their terminology that we don't all know what it is. It could be a hyena. It could be a cheetah. It could be even two other kind of smaller animals. So unclear exactly. Veha nachash, hare elu muadim, and the snake. Okay, all these are considered muadim. That seems to mean, right, even if they do a Karen-type behavior, we're going to say they were muad me'atchala because they're... Right, these
except
are
that these
dangerous
animals.
Animals.
Can't be owned by anybody, really.
They could be owned by someone.
Be held responsible.
Right. Well, the assumption is if they were owned by someone. Obviously, if they weren't owned by anyone, not. But you're right that generally people don't own these type animals.
But there's also six of them, and it says five.
Right. So, forget the fact that it says there's six and it says five, but we already listed five things, if you remember. We had the Shane, the Regel, the Shur Mu'ad, the Shur Mazik, Rushad and Izak, and the Adam, which was five. So why are we adding another six here? It doesn't make any sense. Now, you could say maybe this is a new thing, and the five were five behaviors, and now we're going away from behaviors and we're moving into animals. Maybe there's animals, there are exceptions, and this isn't really connected. It's the next Mishnah, kind of speak, the next topic. Okay? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bizman Shehem B'nei Tarbut, Einam Muadim, V'Hanachash Muad La'olam. If these are B'nei Tarbut, if they were trained, right? Imagine like a lion in a zoo where they're trained them, okay? Or in a circus. If they're B'nai Tarbut, then they're not considered dangerous. Okay? And therefore, if they're trained, then they're not Mu'adim. They're exceptions to the rule. But the Nachash is always Mu'ad. There was this assumption that a snake is always dangerous, even if it's living in somebody's house and they've trained it. You never know what a snake is going to do. Okay? That was their perception. Whether it's true or not, I can't vouch for that. But that was definitely their understanding at the time of the Mishnah. And therefore, even Rabbi Elazar, who thinks that not all these are Mu'adim, or potentially they could be not Mu'adim if they were trained, then Nachash is an exception to that rule. Okay, let's start with our problems now. Now we'll lie it out very clearly. Midikatane, okay, so we're going to start from the Shein. The first assumption they make about this Mishnah is, Midikatane Hashem Mu'ad Le'echol, Michla. From here you can infer, if Hashem is Mu'ad Le'echol, that obviously, this is what Aviv was bothered by from the very beginning, obviously, how could you say, they're mu'ad le'echol, if they're generally expected to do this, well then, right, how could you make them responsible? No, it must be de'b'chatzar nizak askina, right? Because a shein is only mu'ad, right, and responsible in the chatzar nizak. So now the assumption is, if you say that, right, we're going to assume that that's the topic of our Mishnah, Chatzar and Nizak. If that's the case, Vikatani, now go back to the first section, Chamisha Tamim, that's why I put an arrow here, okay, from the sharp and the chain, okay, I'm in the first column here, the first Havana. Vikatani behema inam uedet l'shalem, kule. Okay, in the beginning, what did it say? Habeinam inam uedet, right, lo ligoch lo lena, all those five things. Which meant what? Einam uedet l'shalem kule, meaning it doesn't pay full damages. Aval chatzi nezek meshalemet. But the assumption is, what does she pay? Right, the, what do you pay for the animal? Chatzi nezek, half the damages. Who is this according to? Mane. Rabbanan, this only fits with Rabbanan. Da amre mishune keren b'chatzar nizak. In other words, assuming we're talking about chatzar nizak, what did Rabbanan say? Karen is mishuneh b'chatzar nizak, and therefore chatzi nezek hu d'mishalem. Even if an animal goes into someone else's field where he shouldn't be, he's trespassing, and he does some atypical behavior. If he does a typical behavior, he's obviously fully responsible, the owner. But if he does atypical behavior in the chatzar hanizak, he's only going to be responsible for half damages. So therefore, the resha must be Rabbanan. But ema seifa, but then if you flip to the seifa, shor hamu'ad, vish shor hamazik b'reshut hanizak v'ha'adam, that part, which is really the important part here, is shor hamazik b'reshut hanizak, atan l'Rabbi Tarfon damar, mishune keren b'chatzar hanizak, nezak shalem hu d'mishalem. Right, the second part is telling us that a shor who's mezik in reshut hanizak, that was case number 4 of the chamisha muadim. If he's mezik in the chatzar hanizak, he's chayav full damages. So how could you on the one hand say he's chayav half damages, and on the other hand say he's chayav full damages? So the Gemara says here, according to this, resh rabbanan, the sefer Rabbi Tarfon. How could you say the beginning's rabbanan, the sefer's Rabbi Tarfon? If you remember, a few dapim ago, we had the same problem with another Mishnah, and we said, you can't have it that way. And how did we know you can have it that way? Because we quoted exactly this next line that said, in you can, daha amar le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. And if you remember, we said it, that Shmuel said it to Rabbi Yehuda on a different Mishnah, which was this Mishnah. And therefore, they applied it to the other Mishnah also. And said, Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, you very smart child, Shvok manitim v'tava, try, leave the Mishnah the way you understand it and go after me. Resha, Rabbana b'sefer Rabbi Tarfon, don't let it bother you. We can split this Mishnah in half and say, the beginning's Rabbana, the end's Rabbi Tarfon. It's only unusual in the sense that we really only do this if we have no other choice. It's very strange to say that they're listing 5 tamim and 5 muadim, and the 5 tamim go according to one shita, and the, you know, one of the 5 tamim falls into one shita, and one of the 5 muadim falls into a different shita. It seems to contradict it. I mean, it doesn't. It's not a great answer, which is why we're going to have a bunch of alternative answers. Okay. So that's the first answer, okay? And that's why I set it up there. You know, there's all the assumptions that lead up to the questions, but answer, oh, that doesn't bother us. One's Rabban, one's Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, next answer. Rabbi Elazar Mishmei de Rav Amar, Kula Rabbi Tarfon he. The whole thing is Rabbi Tarfon. How can we explain this? Because we can say, if you remember yesterday's class, Reisha b'chatzarim yuchedet l'pirot le'echab mehen. Okay, the chatzar is mishutaf but not mishutaf. They don't share peirot, okay? But lizeh ulizeh lishvarim, but they're both their shvarim are allowed to be there. So delegabe shein, if you're talking about shein, where he's eating the other person's produce, well, he's eating the other person's produce because the produce doesn't belong to him. So havile chatzar anizak ulegabe karen, but in terms of damages, what a shore can do? Well, if the shores, right, my shore is allowed to be there, and your shore is allowed to be there, and my shore hit your shore, well, since we were both allowed to be there, that's your pacha. Okay? Or legabe, sorry, you're not pacher, but legabe karen, havi reshut harabim. Now, if it's reshut harabim, what do we say? Remember? Okay, we have to keep remembering these distinctions. Shein and regel, you're pacher and reshut harabim, because it's expected and people should watch their own stuff. And reshut anizak, you're chayab. But karen, since it's some unexpected act of violence, anywhere you're responsible for it, whether it's reshut anizak or it's reshut harabim. Right? Then there's the machloket about if it's in reshut anizak, are you chayab even more? In other words, right, that's the whole shita of Rabbi Tarfon. It's, yes, you're chayav everywhere for Karen, Rishud Arvim and Rishud Yachid, but Rabbi Tarfon would say that that if you go into the chatzar and izak, you're going to be chayav full damages. Okay? So now we're going to say, here, it wasn't Rishud and izak, it was Rishud Arabim. And in Rishud Arabim, Rabbi Tarfon would agree with Chachamim that you're only chayav half damages. Okay? So we have, right, you follow, in Rishut HaRabim, Rabbi Tarfon says half. In Rishut HaNizak, he holds Shechayev Nezek Shalem. Okay? That's Rabbi Tarfon Shita. So while it looked like we were assuming, remember our jump, we said if Shein is Chayav, then obviously we're to Rishut HaNizak. Then the Reish is also Rishut HaNizak. So they say, no. You misunderstood. Shein is chayav because we're talking about a case where they shared, where they didn't share produce. So it was Rishut HaNizak for that. But when it came to Karen, and we say you're only chayav half, even though it's Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon would say, in Chatzar HaNizak you're chayav full, this wasn't Chatzar HaNizak. It was Chatzar HaNizak for produce. It wasn't Chatzar HaNizak for Shvarim. Okay, now again, this is a difficult interpretation because you're going to say that it's a very unique case that we're talking about where you have shutafim and they share for shvarim but they don't share for produce, and that's what the whole Mishnah is talking about when the Mishnah gives a very general ruling. So again, they're pushed into a corner, they have nothing to say, but they'd rather say that it's a unique case rather than saying we're splitting it down the lines of, you know, the Reishis Rabbanan and the Sefer Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, so that resolves their issue. You follow how it resolves their issue? Because we take a case where it's Rishut HaRabim Linyan Karen, so therefore it's Chatzi Nezek, because even Rabbi Tarfon will agree with that. And it's Rishut HaRabim it's Rishut HaNizak for Shein, because they don't share Perot. And then when you go back to the later line in the Mishnah, which was our problematic line, Shur HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizak, that's just a regular case of a Shur of a Rishut HaNizak. And there you're going to be Chayav Nezek Shalem, even if it's a Tam. Because that's Rabbi Tarfon's Shita. Okay? Remember that? That's why we assume this Mishnah is all Rabbi Tarfon, because of that line. And I'm kind of telling you this because it's going to lead into the next where we're going to change that line. But right now, the words Shor HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizak, follow? That sounds like it's saying an animal that was a tam even, that goes into someone else's trespasses on someone's field, has to pay full damages. That's clearly Rabbi Tarfon. You can't avoid that unless you change that whole sentence. But, okay, that's going to be the next thing. But right now we're going to assume that's Rabbi Tarfon. So once you say that, you're going to have to explain the first case is not Rishut HaNizak. But how can you say it's not Rishut HaNizak when Shein is Rishut HaNizak? So they came up with this in-between. For all those cases, until we got to the Shor HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizak, we were talking about they shared for Shvarim, but they didn't share for produce. So when it comes to Karen, it's considered Rishut HaRabim. When it comes to Shein, since the produce belongs only to one person, it's Rishut HaNizak. Okay.
Wouldn't everyone agree, though, that Shor HaMu'ad, HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizak
is... So Shor HaMu'ad is a whole separate thing. Shor HaMu'ad is always going to be wherever he's Mazik, is going to be full damages.
Right.
So that was the category before the Shor HaMazik. That's its own separate category. Remember, there were five things, assuming we read the Mishnah the way we've read it. Okay? The next answer is going to have a total reread of the Mishnah. So right now, according to interpretation number one, we split. We said, we keep the Mishnah as is, but we say, Reisha Rabbanan, Sefer Rabbi Tarfon. Second, all Rabbi Tarfon, we keep the Mishnah as is. We just assume, it's called an ukimta, the Mishnah is talking about a particular case when it talks about the Karen in the beginning, all five of those cases, and with the Shortan, and the Shein and the Regel in the second part. And that's to distinguish it from this line, Shor HaMazik B'Rishut HaNizak, is when it's entirely in the Rishut HaNizak. Okay. Amar Rav Kahana. Right, I didn't skip it. Right, till the Rabbi Shein, okay. Amar Rav Kahana. Amarita Bashmate Kamedu Rav Zviv Min Hardea. So Rav Kahana comes to Rabbi Elazar and says, hey, you know, I told what you said in front of Rav Zviv in Hardea. Va'amarli, mi matzit mukema lakula karabi tarfon? How could you say this whole thing is Rabbi Tarfon? Ha katane, doesn't it say there, Hashemu edel lecholata ra'oila? Now, what does that mean? It's mu'ad if it's eating something it's expected to eat. Ra'oila in. So only if it's ra'oila. But she'ein ra'oila lo. Remember, if it's not ra'oila, he's not responsible. Now, what would you say she'ein ein ra'oila? If he eats something that's unexpected, what kind of category are we going to call that? We're going to call it Karen, because it's unexpected, violent, let's say, damage. Now, what's going to be the problem? Can you follow? According to Rabbi Tarfon, if we're going to say the whole thing is Rabbi Tarfon, a she'ein, right, an animal that eats something unexpected is like Karen. And what's going to be the situation? You're going to be chayav nezek shalem if it's Rishut HaNizak, because that's Rabbi Tarfon's unique shita. So a shein should be mu'edet lecholat ha-ra'oila v'shein ra'oila if it's in chatzar and nizak. Because no matter what, he's responsible. Either he's responsible with shum shein, or he's responsible because it's karen b'rishut ha-nizak, which Rabbi Tarfon holds you liable for. Remember, that's his whole approach. If you go and trespass on someone's territory, I don't care what damage you did. Right? I don't care if it was expected or not expected. You were in a place you weren't supposed to be, and you damaged. So therefore, that's what we're going to say here. So, E Rabbi Tarfon, Ha'amar, Mishuna Karen, B'Karen Nizak, Nezek Shalei Mishalem, right? Even though it's atypical, it's Mishuneh, if it's in Chatzar and Nizak, you pay Nezek Shalem. So therefore, he says it can't possibly be that this mission is Rabbi Tarfon. Ella, La'olam Rabbanan hi. Now we're going to say, as opposed to saying half-half or all Rabbi Tarfon, now we're going to say the opposite. It's all Shita Chachamim. V'chisur machasre v'hachi katane. And now we're going to have a total reread of the Mishnah. Chamisha tamim hem. Okay, now it's not going to be that there's five tamim and there's five muadim. Okay, so now my whole chart of how I split up the Mishnah on the, all the way on the right there, those columns, chamisha tamim and chamisha muadim, it's not going to look like this anymore. Erase chamisha muadim. Okay, chamisha muadim isn't coming to think what you think. Okay, hachi katane. This is the problem with charts. You can't have a three-dimensional and show all different options. Okay? This is how you should read it. Chamisha tamim hem. Okay, but I wrote it all, you know, on the column of Havana Mispar Shalosh. Chamisha tamim hem. V'im hu adu chamishtan muadim. There's five tamim. And if these five acts became, right, it became regular, where he did it three times, then they're all considered muadim. Okay, so the chamisha muadim comes to describe the tamim that they can turn into muadim. Okay? Fine. So the chamisha muadim is a coming, and that solves our issue of, what do you mean there are five? There were another six animals listed later. So instead of saying, like I suggested, maybe those six are a separate mishnah and a separate topic of animals versus damages, you could just say very simply, oh, there weren't five muadim. There's more than five muadim, and here's our list, right? Our list goes on. But the chamisha muadim, we're just saying, these five things can turn into five muadim. Okay, and then we go to the second half of the Mishnah, which has nothing to do with the numbers. Now that's not a number game. Now it's a little difficult because usually when the Mishnah lists numbers, so it's listing numbers all the way, right? Like, why would it just say there are five tamim and then it wouldn't list later? But okay. B'shein v'regel muadim mitchilatan. Okay, so now I specifically charted so you can follow along also the words of the actual Mishnah. Okay, so that's what we're saying. Okay. Now, then it says Bishur Hamu'ad in the Mishnah, right? So now they're changing the words. Shur Hamu'ad is not an item that's listed right now because we already said that, right? What did we say? All those five Karens can turn into a Mu'ad. So instead of saying Shur Hamu'ad, we say V'Hechan Ha'adatan. When are they muadim? Okay, now move to the next line. What's the next line of the Mishnah? Bishur hamazik b'rishut hanizak. Ah, when are the shein b'rega muadim? Because now we're not talking about karen at all. We're only talking about shein b'rega. B'chatzar hanizak. Okay, so do you follow how they changed it? Let's read it again. If you look at the Mishnah, hashem, right? So, chamisha tamim b'chamisha muadim. Habeimayin ha-muad lo ligach lo ligof lo lishuf lo lirbot lo libot. That's all five tamim that can become five muadim. Then Hashem muad lechol tavra oila, number one. Harega muad lishpor b'tihi lucha, number two. And now, instead of saying v'shor muad, we're saying, and how do they become muad, v'shem v'regel? And the answer is, or where do they become muad? Ah, v'rishut hanizak. Okay, shor mazik v'rishut hanizak means, if the animal did shem v'regel in the v'rishut hanizak, then they're responsible. Which means the Karen's responsible everywhere, right? Because that wasn't talking about Karen. Which fits perfectly well with Rabbanan. Okay? It does just doesn't fit well with the words, but they change the words, okay? Maskif la Ravina, but Ravina comes and questions this. Hakatane lekaman, but wait a minute. There, it said later, I think, right, that's in the Mishnah. Yeah. It says in the Mishnah, okay, on Kaf Dalet Amubet, Shur Hamazik Bereshit Anizak, our line that was the problematic line, right? Now what's this rule I'm referring to according to our explanation? Shein v'regel, right? Okay? But the Mishnah there says, Shur Hamazik Bereshit Anizak Ketzad. And then what does it proceed to say? Okay, let's just look for a second. Kaf Dalet Amubet, it says, Nagaf, nagaf, nashach, ravat, ba'at. Bereshit arvim shalem chatzin nezek. Bereshit anizak. Rabbi Tarfon omer nezek shalem chachamim arvim chatzin nezek. Exactly the debate about Karen bereshit anizak. So clearly, the next, right, the Mishnah understood this is referring not to Shem V'Regel, but to Karen. So how could you possibly say that line is talking about Shem V'Regel when the Mishnah itself comes to define that line on Kaf Dalet Amud Bet, and it says, how is it Mazim Bereshit Anizak? And then it gets into the Machloket there. So Iyamar Bishlama Aireba, if you say it's referring to Karen, Mishum Hachi Katani, Ketzat, that Mishnah makes perfect sense. Ela Iyamar Lo Aireba, but if you say it wasn't talking about Karen, it was talking about Shem V'Regel, my Ketzat, it makes no sense. So Ravina rejects Rav Kahana's interpretation and says, you can't possibly say the Chormazik Bereshit Anizak is talking about Shem V'Regel, because the Mishnah itself didn't think it wasn't, it explicitly said, we're talking about Karen. So therefore, Ela Amar Ravina, he's going to go similar to Rav Kahana, but have his own reading. Chisur Machasra V'Hachi Katane, there's words missing, and this is how it should read. Chamisha Tamin Hem, V'im Huadu Chamishta Muadim, same thing, okay? V'Shem V'Regel Muadim Mitchilatan, okay? And now it says, "V'zehu shor hamuad, v'shor hamazik." Okay, v'zehu shor hamuad. Okay, and that's a case of shor muad, right? The shem v'regel. In other words, the third line is coming to define the two cases there. The next line, "V'shor hamazik bereshit anizak." Now he's adding more words. Okay, you ready? "V'shor hamazik bereshit anizak." Machloket Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbanan. Ah, you know that there's an argument about this. Okay, that's what the Mishnah is telling you, which it's going to then say later on. V'yesh muadim achirim kayotze ba'ele. And then where does the leading go, right, which we were missing all along? Where's the leading to these animals? Ah, there's also other muadim, by the way. Hazeev, ha'arib, hadov, ha'bardilas, vanamer, vanachash. Okay? So he changes the wording of the Mishnah, adds in additional things in addition to the fact that he understood it for the most part, like Rav Kahana. When it got to this line, Sharma's like, Bereshit, and he's like, he couldn't possibly say it refers to Karen, refers to Shem V'Regel, because it clearly from the other Mishnah it refers to Karen. So therefore, he understands that line as an intro to the Machloket, just to let you know, is like a note. By the way, know that there's a Machloket Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanan about this. And by the way, there's other Muadim, and that leads, he's the only one who really gave an explanation about how it leads into the next animals, that list. Now, you might say, kind of crazy that he added all these words. However, the Gemara is going to tell us now, there's a Braita that reads exactly like his reading, which supports his reading of our Mishnah. Because if you have a Braita that reads exactly that way, we could say, oh, our Mishnah was passed down incorrectly, and we're going to go by the version that the Braita has. And here's the Braita. Chamisha tamim hem, v'im huadu chamishta muadim. So now you see, by the way, he didn't make this up. He probably had this braita, and he said, oh, our Mishnah must be based on this braita, and our Mishnah came down the wrong way, but the braita came down correctly. V'shem v'rega muadim itchilatan, v'zehu shor muad. V'shor mazik bereshit anizak, machloka Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbanan. V'yesh muadim achirim kayotze ba'ele, hazeev, v'ari, v'adov, v'anamer, v'abardilas, v'hanachash. Okay? Very simply, right? He quotes a braita that says exactly that. Okay? Supporting Ravina's shita. Okay. Now, up till now, what did we say? We had this problem with our Mishnah. We explained it in four different ways. The fourth one was Ravina's explanation, which came as a reaction to Rav Kahana's. The Mishnah now, the Gemara now tells us that some people learn Ravina that it didn't come out of this whole discussion, but he came to the same conclusion that Ravina still has the same shita, but it came about in a different manner. Okay? So here's a different way of reading the sugya, about Ravina, the last one. Ika deramu le mirma. There's some people who say there's a contradiction. It started with this problem, a contradiction. Tnan chamisha tamim v'chamisha muadim. Now, if you remember, what did I mention? He's the only one who points out about the animals, right? So some people say that was what was troubling him, and that's what motivated him. Not Rav Kahana, and not the problems we mentioned in the Mishnah before, but what was motivating him was this. It says Chamisha Tamim, the numbers here. And it says Chamisha Moadim. V'tu Leika, and there are no more than five. V'ha'ika, Hazei, V'ha'ari, V'ha'dov, V'anamer, V'ha'bardilas, V'anachash. Right? There's another six more. So what do you mean five? Exactly what we asked before. What do you mean five and then five and then six? And then, just five and five. There's five and then there's another 11. So What does he answer? Umishane amaravina chisur machas shavachi katani. To answer that question, he said we have to reread our Mishnah, and this is how it reads. Chamisha tamim hem ve'im muadu chamisha muadin b'shem v'rega muadim mitchilatam v'zeu shor muad. וזהו שור מועד, ושור המזיק ברשות הנזק, מחלוק רבי טרפון ורבנן, ויש מועדים אחרים כיוצא, ואלה זה והארי והדוב, הנמר והברדלס והנחש. Okay, so it's just a different way he gets to it. In other words, either it came out of our original question, which is if it's chasar hanizak, it can't, doesn't make sense to say it's Rabbi Tarfon or Rabbanan, etc., we get that whole problem, or the problem is the numbers, and from there he reread the Mishnah. And again, you have to remember, why was he motivated? Because he had this braita, which, you know, he probably knew that braita. Okay. Now we're going to get to the low.
Can I just ask one more question?
Sure.
I know that the list at the end of the Zev Nahari and the Dog, why don't they just differentiate between Behemoth and Chayot? Because these are all Chayot anyhow.
Uh-huh. Are all Chayot dangerous? I don't know if all Chayot are dangerous. I think they really were just keying in on the ones that are the most dangerous. That's how I understand it. I'm sure there's other Chayot that are not listed here. I don't know the list of all the Chayot, but I'm sure there are. What? No, that's not a chaya.
Right.
That's a nof. Right, it's a bird. Yeah. So, right, I don't know, but I'm sure there's a much bigger list of chayot, and I think they're just telling you the ones that prey, you know.
Predatory.
Predators, that's what we're thinking. Okay. The lowly boats, we're going to get into the animals soon. The lowly boats, okay, that's to crouch on top of it. Amar Rabbi Elazar, now we're going to have, okay, if you remember the way Ravina happened, it was... Did his words come out this way, or did it come out from a different issue? Now we're going to have three versions. Okay, they're all in the back here. Three versions of Rabbi Elazar. He's always going to, okay, number one, did he say something or did he say its opposite? And number two, how did his words come about? I'm a Rabbi Elazar. The first reading is, Lo shanu ela pachim gedolim, aval pachim ktanim orchehu. When we say that lirbots is karen, and you're only chayav chatzi nezek, that's what we're talking about. He crouches down onto big kelim, big vessels. But if it's pachim ktanim, well, that's typical that he might sit on something small and break it because he doesn't notice something small. And therefore, you be chayim nezek shalem on that. Lema mesayei alei. Maybe here we have a good support for this. Habehemamu et lahalech kidarka ulishbor lema'ech et adam et habehema ve'et hakelim. Okay, so now what do we say? Here it says the behemah is mu'ad to go kidarka u'lishaber u'lema'ech et ha'adam v'et ha'behemah v'et ha'kelim. Meaning a behemah as it walks, right, destroys kelim. Which seems to say, wait a minute, didn't our Mishnah say lo lirbots? He doesn't destroy kelim. So the only way to resolve this would be to say, like Rabbi Elazar said, and that's why it supports him, one is talking about pachim gedolim and one is talking about pachim ktanim. So they say, no, that's not a good proof, because maybe when it says here, he's mu'ed el alech kedarka u'lishbor, it doesn't mean lishbor by sitting on it. What might it mean? Dilma min atzad. It means lishbor by, if it's walking through, and there's not a lot of space between him and the wall, he might crush it on its way. And then we might not be talking about revisa at all. So you can't use that as your proof. Okay, second reading. Ika da'amre, some people said that Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo tema, don't say only pachim gedolim hu delav orche, aval pachim ktanim orchehu. Don't say you're only responsible for, right, Karen is only pachim gedolim, but pachim ktanim is its typical way and it would be mu'ad. Ela, filo pachim ktanim nami lav orchehu. Even pachim ktanim, it's not typical for an animal to crouch down and sit on small vessels. Okay, that's the opposite. And then, obviously, since it's the opposite, what are we going to do? Instead of saying, maybe that Braita affords us a proof, now we're going to say, maybe the Braita is a contradiction. Meitive. How could you explain it like that? Because it says in a Braita, lema'ech et ha'adam ve'et ha'beima ve'et ha'kelim. And it, right, it's mu'ad for kelim. And our Mishnah said it's not mu'ad for the kelim. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, how does he resolve that? Oh no, don't think that one is pachim gedolim and one is pachim ktanim. Dilma minatzad. Maybe that bright is talking about minatzad and it has nothing to do with our thing and it doesn't offer me a contradiction at all. Okay, so according to that, Rabbi Elazar would say the opposite. That pachim gedolim and ktanim is Karen. Third option. Ika derami le mirma. Some people brought the bright and the Mishnah as contradicting each other. Ma'at chalad said, Tanan, the lowly boats, Vahatanya, Ulamayach Dadam, Veta Bema, Veta Kelim, that there was a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita. One says he's not responsible for sitting on Kelim, and the other one says he is responsible. So, how do you resolve the contradiction? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Kashya, Kamba Pachim Gdolim, Kamba Pachim Ktanim. period. And that the third way of reading it is that to resolve the contradiction, Rabbi Elazar says, oh, one must be talking about big vessels and one is talking about smaller vessels. And that resolves the contradiction. And then we don't suggest in this reading that maybe that source was talking about minatzad, right? It was just regular. Okay, now we get into the animals. Hazeev ha'ari v'chule. My bardilas, what is a bardilas? I'm Rabbi Yehuda nafriza. Okay, we've seen this many times where somebody translates something and then that doesn't really help the later people. So my nafriza, okay, remember, Rabbi Yehuda is second generation, Rabbi Yosef is third to fourth generation. So comes Rabbi Yosef in the next generation, said, I'm Rabbi Yosef, right, my nafriza, the Gemara asks, so Rabbi Yosef says it's apa. Okay, now, most people say that we're talking about a hyena here. So then they say, meitivei. But wait, there's a contradiction. Rabbi Meir Omer, afa tzavua. He adds the tzavua to the list, and the tzavua is hyena. So how could you say that a bardilas is a hyena, and then it says, Rabbi Meir says, even a hyena. Doesn't make any sense. And Rabbi Elazar Omer, afa nachash. Okay, that's just the continuation of that source. Va'am Rabbi Yosef, tzavua zo apa. Okay, Rabbi Yosef says, right, and how could he say that? So lo kashya. Can we talk about the male and the female? And as you can imagine, there's a machloket among the Rishonim. Is Rashi brings both gersot? Is it that the female is more violent or is the male more violent? Okay, which goes which way? Ditanya, and some people even think that this is a proof that, anyway, well, okay, I'll get to it in a minute. But Ditanya, okay, here's a braita. Tavua zachar lachar sheva. Okay, the question is this coming to prove one way or the other that some people think that this is coming to prove that a female is more severe than the male. Okay, we're going to see this is a very strange braita, and it depends how you explain all these things, but it doesn't seem like it's really talking about tavua here. Some people have a different version that says that the tavua zachar achar sheva shanim naset tavua nekeva. It's a different girsav entirely. And then that would be saying that the bright is coming to show that the female is obviously worse than the male, because this whole brighter we're going to see talks about metamorphosizing of animals. And in the metamorphosis, it's clearly it gets worse and worse and worse. Okay, what we're going to do with this, we'll think about a little bit, but not too much because we don't have time. But anyway, it's a strange source. Tzavua zachar, but we'll read it according to our nosach, which basically just seems to be talking about a tzavua zachar and has nothing to do with the lokashya, okay, and the problem we had. Lachar sheva shanim nasa talef, turns into a bat. A talef, lachar sheva shanim nasa arpad. Okay, a bat, the assumption is only eats insects, and arpad eats vegetation also, so it's like more harsani, you know, eats more things. Arpad, lachar sheva shanim nasa kimosh. Kimosh is a type of thorny bush. Kimosh, lachar sheva shanim nasa choach, which is an even more thorny bush. Choach, lachar sheva shanim nasa shade. It turns into a demon. Okay, now, by the way, if we're already talking about things like this, here's another thing. Shidrosha l'adam lachar sheva shanim nasa nachash. The spine of a person after 7 years, the assumption is after death or something, or after it stops functioning, turns into a snake. V'hane mile delo kara b'modim. This is only if it didn't bow down properly in modim. Okay, if you don't bow down, then your spine is going to turn into a nachash. Okay, this is kind of strange, obviously, what we're talking about here. There's an idea here, I think, about things getting progressively worse. And maybe it's a way of kind of warning people. Maybe it's part of this Adam Wad La'olam, you know, and watch your behavior, watch your animal's behavior. Things are only going to get worse and worse, even like the Shor Mu'ad, right? It's someone who's done it. As you do things more and more, you become more evil, right? Once it becomes heter to you, and I think it's trying to talk about, you know, how things can progress to a negative state. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. It's obviously a very strange source, and I don't think meant to be understood literally. Okay, Amar Mar, Rabbi Meir Omer Af HaTzavua, Rabbi Elazar Omer Af HaNachash. Now, this is a strange thing, Rabbi Elazar, because what did he say? Even the Nachash. But what did we read in our Mishnah? V'hanantna, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bizman Shem B'nei Tarbut Einam Mu'adim. V'hanachash Mu'ad L'olam. It's not Af HaNachash, it's just the Nachash. Right? He said the Nachash was in its own unique category. So they say, oh, change the Braita. It should say Tane Nachash. Okay, easy way to resolve it. Amar Shmuel. Now we're going to talk about an Aryeh, a lion. Ari b'reshut harabim. Now he's going to distinguish. We talked about an Aryeh's Mu'ad La'olam, but now we're going to see that it depends on what the Ari did, because there's certain expectations of how an Ari behaves, how a lion will behave, versus, right, unexpected behavior by a lion. So, interestingly enough, if he's daras v'achal, he's patur. If he tramples an animal and eats it right away, he's patur, because that's not a typical way of an animal. An animal will be more taraf ve'achal chayav. In other words, if he tramples it and eats it alive, he's patur, because lions don't do that. But taraf ve'achal, if he kills it and then eats it, he's chayav. Okay, the assumption here, from what I read, is that, wait 1 second, I think I'm confusing something. Right, Rashi says, Darash shelo haraga ela mechayim achla patur d'orchehu. Ah, right, sorry, I said the opposite. He's patur because that's the typical way he would eat it alive. V'shem b'rashut harabim patur. In other words, generally, a lion eats the animal alive. Why? Because the animal is king of the forest. He's not scared of anybody. What I said, a lion is king of the forest. He's not scared of anybody. So he'll just eat an animal alive. Whereas most animals, what do they do? First, they kill the animal before they eat it. Because if they don't kill it, right, the animal's going to fight back. The assumption is the lion, no one's going to fight with the lion. So therefore, since it's its typical behavior, and he does it in Rashut Arabim, he's going to be patur. Because again, right, you should have expected in Rashut Arabim this would happen. That's the owner should have expected, and should have, the owner of the animal that got killed, right, eaten, and should have protected, right? Remember, the Ari is not going to be responsible in Rashut Arabim when it's typical behavior. So, comes Shmuel and he says, it depends how he did it, okay? If he's taraf v'achal and that was typical, then it's patur. If taraf v'achal, then he's chayav. So now they say, taraf v'achal patur, right? This is where Rashi gets it. Kevan d'orche l'midras. Since its typical way is to trample and then just eat alive, havelei kamosh achla perot v'yirakot. It's just like an animal, right? Think about it. It's like an animal goes and eats perot yirakot. That's how the lion walks on the street and just eats animals live. The taraf lav orchehu. Okay, but killing the animal in Rashut Arabim is not typical. Killing it and then eating it immediately. So now the Gemara questions this. Lamemer de trepa lav orchehu? What do you mean? A lion doesn't kill an animal to eat it? V'haktiv. Okay, now we're going to quote this long pasuk from Nahum. Arye toref kidei gorotav. An aryeh kills its prey b'dei gorotav in order to feed its young. So here you see he does. So the Gemara says, no, obviously that's not the case we were just talking about. What was the case we were talking about? He doesn't kill in order for himself to eat. Yeah, he kills to bring it home to his gugurim. But if he wants to just eat himself, that's atypical. So then they say, u'mechanek l'leviotav. It's very strange they're bringing all these, the rest of this pasuk, because everyone is an obvious answer. He strangles for the livia, for his wife, right, for his female partner. So they say, no, obviously, b'shvil l'leviotav, right, that's not a problem. He's toref, right, and as each time we're going to say, taraf ba'achal is atypical. He would never just kill an animal and eat it immediately. He would always kill it for the purposes of saving it for somebody, right? Or maybe saving it for himself, but for later. But the continuation of the pasuk, v'yimalei teref chorav, he fills his holes with trefot, right, with dead animals that he killed. So they say, no, b'shvil chorav, those are ones, again, he's umonotav, b'shvil chorav, he's saving them up for later. That's again, he wouldn't be toref to eat right away, he would just, you know, trample it, get it a little bit weak, and then eat it alive. Umo'onotav trefa, what about that? Again, b'shvil monotav, those are his storage places, right? He'll save them up, but again, he won't do it to eat right away. Then they say, v'hatanya, but wait, there's a brayta that says, v'chein chaya, shenichnisa l'chatzar nizak, trefa, tarfa behema v'achla basar. Okay, so now, if a chaya comes into chatzar nizak and devours an ant, right, it kills an animal and eats it, and he eats the meat. Mishalem nezek shalem. Now, what does this mean? So, if a lion were to go into somebody's field, litrof and le'echol, exactly what we said, you be chayev nezek shalem. And didn't we just say that's typical behavior and you should only be chayev chatzi nezek? So, hachav, right, in other words, this is in Rashut Anizah, so you wouldn't be chayev nezek shalem. So, what are the answer? Hachav amayaskin, there's a crazy answer. Shetarfa lahaniach. That it would be only a case where he was toref lahaniach. But they said, what do you mean? Ha'achla katane. It says, no, he tarfa ve'achla. Right? In other words, what are they saying? When he was toref the animal, he wasn't planning to eat it. But then, v'shinim lecha v'achla, in other words, he killed the animal originally, not intending to eat it right away. So the behavior was exactly the behavior that we would have expected, and therefore he's responsible, fully responsible, because it's chatzar nizak, right? If it wasn't remember, if it wasn't typical behavior and it happened in chatzar nizak, we're going to call that short tongue. Okay? So now we're going to say, so it must be, even though it says tarfa v'achla, it must be he killed it with the intent not to eat it right away and to bring it back to its den or something. But then it changed its mind and ate it.
And you can figure this
out. So the Gemara says, Mina yadina, and how on earth would we know what the animal intended when it tried to, right? Ve'od d'shmuel nami, don't. Right? And Shmuel Nami Dilma Hachihu. Maybe the case of Shmuel, when he said that the Ari Taraf Achal, how do we know? Maybe the animal there changed his mind. So maybe it was a typical behavior. Maybe he was killing it just to, right? And then he changed his mind. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Litzdadin Katane. Learn this source, in, like cut it in half and learn each thing separately. This is how you should read it. She tarfa lahaniach o darsa v'achla. That's either tarfa lahaniach, which is the typical behavior, or darsava achla, he trampled it and ate it live, which is also the typical behavior. Mishalem et nezek shalem. Okay, so they reread the source and they say, doesn't make sense, it's tarfava achla, it must be tarfa lahaniach or darsava achla. Okay, again, adding words. Ravina amar, ki ka'amar Shmuel ba'ari tarbut. Maybe you had this problem with Shmuel, maybe you'd say that Shmuel was talking about a domesticated lion. Ba'aliba de Rabbi Elazar, da'amar lav orche. Right, and like Rabbi Elazar said, all those other animals can be domesticated, and then they won't be responsible. Then they won't be muad. Ihachi afilu darsa nami lichayev. But if that's the case, then even darsa, he should, right? What did Shmuel say? If it's domesticated, right? What did he say? It depended on how he acted. If he was taraf achal, then chayav. But taraf achal patur. So then darsa should also be chayav in that case. If he was domesticated, then again, you weren't expecting it. It was rishud arabim. The animal should be responsible because the people, right? The people around shouldn't have, the responsibility shouldn't have shifted onto them. So they say, Ela d'Ravina lava Shmuel itmar ela amatnita. In other words, since we have a problem reading Ravina's interpretation of Shmuel's statement about that it's Ari Tarbut, because then it wouldn't make sense to distinguish between the two cases. So he says, no. When Ravina said his statement, he was talking about the Braita that was problematic. And that's why is he Chayav and Rishon Anizak? It must be because he was domesticated. And then, Kitani Matznita, Barei Tarbut, Baliba de Rabbi Elazar, Damar Lav Orche. So then, Ihachi, Chatzi Nezik Bai Lishlume, Diyayid. In other words, then, Chatzi Nezik Bai Lishlume, Diyayid. In other words,
no.
Sorry. Oh, by la chatzin nezek by l'shlum. I think it's a question, right? In other words, why should he? I read it wrong. Right? Because he says it's lav orche, right? If according to this, it's lav orche because he's a domesticated animal, then he should have to pay chatzin nezek. So they say diyayid. It's talking about a domesticated animal who's done it three times and now he's a shor muad, and that's why he pays nezek shalim. So ihachi mai have de katane la ihachi mai hai de katane la gabe tolada de shein. Right, then why is it listed among a whole bunch of cases of the toladot of shein? And this is just like we said earlier. How do you say it's talking about chamber regal when the whole context was Karen? So again, now we're going to say, how could you say this was a Karen case of a shor muad? Of a Karen, right? Because he wasn't muad before. If you're going to say it's tarbut, the whole context there was the tolada of shein. So they say, Gabe Tolada de Karen by Lemitina. It should have been listed while they were listing all the Toladot of Karen. So they say, Kasha. Yes, Ravina's interpretation is difficult. So it's difficult whether you say it on Shmuel, because it doesn't make sense. It's difficult if you say it here.